This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties, and people know this.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan. New York
streets will kill us. All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Kyle Boniger is going to join us here in just a second. I think fall has officially hit the Northwest.
Fall is officially here, man. We got nothing but rain for the next 7 days in the forecast.
I do need to thank you, though. I got home and I did some outdoor stuff to get it done so I don't have to go in the rain and do it.
Gotta get it done, man. Yesterday was the day.
But let's talk some more college football. It's never a bad topic for us. We love it. And we were talking briefly about Oregon-Washington week. Kyle Boniger is our guest. He's double dipping on the radio station today. He was on with Dusty and Cam this morning. And now he's on with us, and he's on Twitter, at Boniger at ESPN. Kyle, thanks for hopping on yet again on 1080 The Fan, man. We appreciate the time. I'll start with the Oregon-Washington game. Just on the feel of who you think ultimately is going to come out victorious between these two teams, because they feel very evenly matched.
Yeah, and just off the top, I mean, I think I would lean Oregon. I think that they've been the more complete team this year. I think, obviously, what they've done defensively has been so special, and Washington certainly has shown that it has quite a few flaws. I don't think this is quite the talent level that we've been accustomed to seeing up in Seattle the last few years. So, you know, that doesn't mean this won't be a competitive game. I think it will, but I would certainly feel pretty good about Oregon.
You know, looking at the Pac-12 too, we've had this conversation really probably since Oregon lost to Auburn, and then when Utah went on the road and lost to USC. We've continued to wonder, is the conference eliminated just from the conversation in general around the college football playoff? And I know Utah plays Washington, I want to say, in 2 or 3 weeks. So they got that game coming up. They got a tough one against ASU. And then, of course, the Oregon-Washington game. How close are, if they win in the next couple of weeks, Oregon and Utah from being back into some semblance of the college football playoff conversation?
Yeah, so I kind of have a different stance on that than what the kind of the national conversation, how it usually goes in regards to the Pac-12. Like, I just don't think you're out of it with one loss regardless of the season. I think there's no reason to discount a team with one loss this early in the year. It just never makes sense. I mean, there's still so much that can happen other places in the country. I know, obviously, the margin for error is pretty much zero, but at the same time, you know, Oregon and Utah are certainly both capable of winning out. Like, they have the talent, they have the coaching staff to do that. So if you finish as a one-loss champion from a Power 5 conference, you're going to be in the conversation no matter what. It doesn't matter what the year, who's doing what across the country, and it obviously doesn't guarantee that you'll get in, but like, to remove a one-loss Power 5 team from the conversation just doesn't make any like mathematical sense to me. And, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle. I mean, I think if they were to release the rankings today, you know, they wouldn't be knocking on the door to get in.
Sure.
But, you know, there's still so many games that are yet to be played. And, we, you know, if Georgia loses to South Carolina, like, we have to allow for a number of other possible upsets to still happen the rest of the way.
Yeah. Kyle Boniger, ESPN, is our guest. He's on Twitter, at Boniger, ESPN. I'm curious, Kyle. I know you travel around a little bit, so you may not be at headquarters very much, but from your colleagues, whether at ESPN or just in the media in general, when you guys talk college football at these games during TV timeouts and give differing opinions and views, how often do you maybe cape up for the Pac-12? And the only reason I ask this, I saw an article this morning that it was time on Iowa, and it said, you know, Iowa has lost back-to-back weeks, but they're still in the top 25. And I thought, A&M also lost back-to-back weeks. They were still in the top 25. Cal lost one game. They were bumped from 15 all the way out. I know it gets tiring. I understand it, but it does feel like when you see things like that, that there's not a slight, but a, we'll push the Pac-12 to the side type respect for certain teams that pop in and out of the rankings.
Yeah, there's certainly Pac-12 teams are punished in ways that teams in other markets are not. I think that's pretty clear. Anyone who follows this, even on a cursory level, probably understands that. And, you know, there's reason. I mean, the fact that, you know, I don't watch a lot of ACC ball because I have better things to do at 9 a.m. on a Saturday. You know? And, like, it's the same, like, you can say the same thing about people on the East Coast, too. Like, if it's 10 o'clock on a Saturday night and you spend all day watching college football, like, are you really going to watch Washington versus Arizona State? Like, probably not, right? And so I think there's a lot of that factors into it. If, like, you're naturally going to be more supportive of the things you're familiar with, and just the fact that where the population centers are in the country, like, there's just way more people on the East Coast. I think that certainly factors into it. And so a lot of those are just kind of problems that the Pac-12 is just going to always be forced to deal with. I think the main issue that the Pac-12 has faced really is just without having a real top-level team that is consistently competing at the highest level in the sport, it's hard to it's hard to kind of validate the rest of the conference, mm-hmm. right? And I think mm-hmm. this year is a pretty good example of how the Pac-12, top to bottom, you know, if you took like were to assign like an average value of a team, I'm just making up metrics here on the spot for you guys. If you were to take like an average value of a team in the Pac-12, it would be significantly higher than the ACC. It would be higher probably than the Big 12. I think the Big 10 is probably a better overall conference, but I think at the bottom of the Big 10, those teams are worse. Like, Oregon State would beat Rutgers. Like, I'm very confident that Oregon State is a better team than Rutgers and, you know, would win a few games in the ACC. So it's just like, what's your preference, right? The Pac-12 is week in, week out, so much fun to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that you can have teams at the bottom of the conference competing with teams at the top of the conference, you know, you can make fun of parity all you want, but like, it certainly makes the games on an individual week-to-week basis a lot of fun.
It's always interesting to me, that viewpoint. By the way, very quick, would UCLA beat Rutgers?
Well, see, I don't know if we want to really push it. That's
yeah, I mean, got to draw the line somewhere.
No, but I think you're hitting on something that's very valid. And I think I've always viewed it that way. I'm a bit of a Pac-12 honk because I grew up here, so obviously I have a bias. But it is interesting, like you mentioned, they get punished for things other teams and programs and conferences don't. And I think you're 1,000% right. Like, you take the parity thing, right? You take a team that's seventh in the conference. Maybe they upset an Oregon or a Washington or a Utah or whoever. USC, Utah, right? They have that upset. And people just scoff at it and they go, oh, look at the Pac-12 tripping over themselves. It's embarrassing. And then those same people wake up every Sunday morning and they go, oh, I love the NFL. You never know who's going to win. It's a very interesting approach to me.
Everyone is always going to look at, you know, frame things from their own personal interests, right? You're going to frame things that are going to make your team or your conference look better. And that goes for, you know, us guys who pay more attention to Pac-12 football, right? I think our opinion on how we look at it is skewed because we're so invested in what's going on here. So it's like not really different. It's like easy to get like upset about like the like maybe the inequality of how things are viewed, but like, you know, it's like you said earlier, it is becoming a little bit tired just because like in like while we're talking about some of these you know just weird mechanisms in college football, like we could be like, you could have a lot of fun talking about, you know, games that are going to be entertaining week in, week out. So it's like, it's just kind of life in the Pac-12. And so you kind of have to accept it because there's no obvious way to change it. So I don't know. It's interesting to discuss for sure.
Yeah. I think the only way to change it is a national championship. I've said this year, though, I do enjoy having a conference where you genuinely don't know what's going to happen in week in and week out. And that makes fun. That makes for great entertainment. I've loved it this year. The looking at a game where I'm not quite sure where Vegas is on this one, and I don't know how into gambling you are, but Penn State and Michigan is like the big game of the week. ABC, you know, Beaver Stadium, I'm sure going to have that whiteout. Penn State is nearly a double-digit favorite in Vegas. Where are you leaning on this one, and how do you feel about that? Is Penn State still undefeated and not quite getting the same recognition as some of the other undefeated teams?
Yeah, I haven't watched Michigan this year, so, like, to have any, like, real perspective with, you know, I'm kind of just guessing here, but, like, I've liked what I've seen from Penn State. I think double digits is a big spread. I don't know if I would be willing to put down money on Penn State if I was a gambling man, which I am not. But I have liked the wrestling from Penn State in a few opportunities I've had to see them. But like, that's another thing, right? If Penn State loses, you know, they won't get punished, and Michigan will get rewarded. That's kind of how it works, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kyle Bonagura is our guest. He's on Twitter at Bonagura ESPN, covering college football at large. Who are your top four teams today? Who would be in the playoff if Kyle Bonagura had all the power and the season ended?
Yeah, so I would. I mean, it would be sort of like you can argue about like how you would sort them, but I'm very much a conference should not get multiple teams. So as good as LSU is, like if you don't win the conference and there are three other real capable options from other conferences, I just don't see the point in that. So like that, just to understand that going in. So I would go Alabama from the SEC, I would go Clemson, and then I would go Ohio State and Oklahoma would be the four teams that I would have in right now. And I've had that for a few weeks right now. I think that, you know, LSU has certainly done a lot of – it has been impressive, and they, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up in there. But I have a lot of I have a lot of trust in the coaching staff of those teams that I mentioned, and, you know, that really matters. And more in football than any other sport, right? The fact that those guys, for the most part – you know, Ryan Day is new at Ohio State, but I've seen enough to be pretty impressed with him. But so that's where I'm at with the four, and – that's where I do the bold projections at ESPN, and that's where I've settled on some order of those four teams for the last few weeks.
All right, there we go. You can find those bold projections. ESPN.com is where you can find his work. Kyle Bonagura on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN, covering college football. Who would your Heisman be, very quickly?
Oh, very quickly. If you're going to say very quickly, Jalen Hurts probably didn't play as well against Texas, but it's obviously the Oklahoma quarterback thing is probably a little bit tired, but on the spot, I'll go there for now.
All right, there we go. Kyle Bonagura. Kyle, thanks so much for hopping on yet again. Double duty here on 1080 The Fan. Doesn't happen very often, but thank you so much for joining both Dusty and Cam in our show.
It's a big week for Oregon football, so happy to be
up. Absolutely. There we go. Good stuff from Kyle Bonagura of ESPN. He's on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN.
Yeah, I've kind of tried to give up on the complaining about national perception thing. It is unfortunate when you have the situation like Cal. We ranted about that because we felt like they got jobbed out of the top 25. But you've seen some respect for Arizona State. You know, Washington is a team who hasn't looked great. They have two losses. They're in the top 25.
I disagree on Arizona State.
Okay, maybe they're not as high as they should be.
I think if they lose this week to Utah,
you think they're out of the brackets?
Oh, I think they're going to get bumped.
Yeah, at least Washington's in with two losses, so that ups the profile of the Oregon-Washington game this week. And look, as somebody said, you know, the parity only works with a true playoff contender. And there's no doubt. What it's going to take to change the narrative around the conference is having a team that goes and wins a national championship. Now, how far away from that are we? I don't know. I know it's not going to happen this year. So maybe it takes a couple of years. I do genuinely enjoy it, though. I think the conference has been awesome this year. I think you have a lot of good teams that are jumbled together, and it creates fun chaos. And as a fan, it's crazy and it's exciting. Like, you go in every week knowing, like, can we win this weekend? Are we going to get upset? Like, you never know what's going to happen. Washington's lost to Cal and Stanford. Nobody saw that coming from a million miles away. And yet here we are. UCLA beat Washington State. ASU with a big win last weekend. Like, Colorado, for all the fun we've made of Colorado and how bad people thought they looked on Friday night, Colorado winning Arizona State. They're the only team to beat the Sun Devils this year. They won at Arizona State. Like, it's been fun. It's been crazy. And I love it week in and week out.
All right, got more college football news and notes to get to, including, boy, this story. It really does prove it just means more. I'll explain that next on The Fan. Don't worry, CJ. We'll see you soon, buddy.
Next week, NBA's back.
I listened to a Bill Simmons podcast today.
Okay.
Guess who they think is going to fall out of the West race?
Ah, the Portland Trailblazers? Buy in. When's the hashtag they tweet coming from at Brandon Sprague on Twitter? Hashtag they.
I actually never did the they or the Rip City on they. I hated the Rip City on they ass thing.
They be sleeping.
Like, nobody talks that. Rip City on they ass.
You know, there are actually people out there, and Jason Swigart even asked the question.
No, I asked if the question was appropriate.
Should the question be asked?
Oh.
Is there any need to panic over the lack consistent play in the preseason?
I said, is there any reason to pay attention to the fact
the struggles?
The Blazers' only win in the preseason was against an Israeli team.
What was the record last preseason?
I don't remember.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's get to some college football.
You don't want to break it down? They lost to the Suns, and the Suns didn't play Booker, Ayton.
The Lakers played LeBron. They lost to the Nets in China.
Issues. No,
I was just asking if it was okay to ask the question. I know.
We painted you in a really stupid corner, and it's not fair to you.
I'm not putting baby in a corner, okay? Yeah.
This is what it's like to host with Dirt. Sometimes you get throw you in a corner, and like, hey, guess what this guy said?
Well, no, I've legitimately seen people on Twitter, like, concerned.
Really?
I have seen that. I'll occasionally log on to our show account to see, because we follow.
The first preseason game was a preseason game. The guys played a half.
Not breaking down preseason. Let's do
it. It was close.
We're halfway there. We might as well continue.
God. And I just saw the score of the Suns game, and it just turned my head.
The Suns were scorching hot.
Gave up like 180 points.
Is that just preseason, or do I need to pay attention to? The question was, do I need to pay attention to that?
No, but I think something we pointed out before they played any games, preseason or regular season, was, is the defense going to be a liability?
That's my big question.
I think it's going to be a big question that they have to solve on their own. I'm sorry. I did not mean to turn this into preseason basketball.
No, that's my fault.
It's mine. I'll
take some blame here, too. It's partially my fault as well.
Look at us all being responsible adults today.
Okay, take the high road.
You have heard the old saying, it just means more, right?
Yeah, one thing we didn't talk about in that regard, out of the same Florida LSU game, did you see them grilling up a gator?
Yeah, they do that all the time.
I saw several gators being grilled. I saw one on a rotisserie spit.
That's actually really normal for them.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a buddy go to the LSU Oregon State game years ago. He said he saw a tailgate where they had gator.
Just roasting up gator. This gator I saw that a listener tweeted to us was wrapped in bacon.
Look good.
Bacon wrapped gator.
I've had gator. Gator's actually not bad.
Gator?
Yeah.
It's not that great either. People need to.
Bear is better.
Calm down on gator.
Bear meat's better than gator meat.
Yeah, I would buy that.
I've never eaten either, so I
bear is really good. Like, if you get some bear meat, put it in a chili.
Was it polar bear meat?
No.
What?
No. They're an endangered species. Settle down over there.
I don't like that term, by the way, because so are seagulls. And seagulls, there's too many of them, and they're a-holes.
They're all over the place.
They're a-holes. They used to hit me regularly on the head with their feet when we were roofing.
Maybe you just got a big head.
That's where they nest. They put their nests on top.
On your head?
Buildings. No, on the top of buildings. What is this segment turning into right now? I'm so lost.
I don't know. I'm kind of done.
I don't know.
Welcome back.
All right. Here we go. It just means more is an old SEC saying.
What's their actual advertising line? Like, if you watch SEC games and you see the SEC, the conference commercial promo during the things, that's what they use.
It's legit. And honestly, it's real too. I mean, they don't care about anything else in life. Well, LSU Alabama's coming up in a few weeks. Big game. LSU's playing good football. Alabama's Alabama. And it means more because a University of Alabama freshman, 18 years old, has been accused of calling in a bomb threat at LSU's Tiger Stadium during the LSU Florida game on Saturday night.
What's the reasoning for this?
Connor Bruce Kroll, he's 19, not 18, of Virginia. Oh, I wonder why he's going to Alabama. Was arrested and jailed Sunday as a fugitive from justice. He faces unspecified charges in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. According to the police affidavit, they obtained by WBRZ in Baton Rouge. Kroll told police that he called in a bomb threat during the Tigers' win because a friend was, quote, on the verge of losing a large bet.
This is the most Brandon Sprague thing of all time.
This guy's right up our alley, outside of the bomb threat.
Sure.
Good
not
God,
funny.
What are you doing?
Not funny, but kind of funny. Like, this guy belongs in the Sprague in the Line Hall of Fame of a way to get out of a bet. First off, I love that he made one that he couldn't pay. This is like a Marcus Greaves move 101. You got to know you can pay up your bet in case you lose it. That's bad technique initially. But I love that his first thought while losing the bet or thinking that he's going to lose the bet was to call in a bomb threat to the stadium. Did he actually think the game was going to get canceled and postponed? Can you imagine if somebody actually pulled this off too?
And it worked,
a credible enough bomb threat that they had to call the whole game off and the teams left. And sorry, Bookie, looks like that one's a wash.
Authorities didn't immediately provide further detail about the nature of the threat or say whether Kroll intended to carry it out. Quote, protocol was followed efficiently and effectively to quickly ascertain the source of the threat. The protocol, including an immediate sweep of the stadium and a multi-agency investigation, which led to the suspect being identified within minutes and arrested soon after.
Now, did you say, sorry if I missed it, who did he have his money on?
Well, I'm assuming it was Florida.
But they were a 13.5-point dog. So unless he, because they, well, that game was back and forth the whole time.
But he said a friend was on the verge of losing a big bet.
Okay, okay.
So I'm assuming said friend bet on Florida because it was during the game. So even if this would have worked, they would have just stopped the game, probably emptied the stadium and either kept playing about an hour or two later.
Sure.
Or they would have just started it back up where it was. Right. They wouldn't cancel or restart the whole thing.
No, eventually, like if you're going to play a lightning game for Washington and Cal in the middle of the night, you're going to find a way to finish this game because guess what? It just means more down there. So they would have find a way to play through a bomb threat.
People are insane.
I'm genuinely curious though where the money was on. I know it's a Florida people, but if you had money on Florida early in that game, essentially the first three quarters, you were feeling great. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe at one point they led in that game. It took a touchdown lead. Mm. If not, then it was always at least LSU score, Florida score. LSU score, Florida score. They weren't down by two touchdowns until late in the fourth quarter when LSU finally jumped ahead.
They actually led for a minute in that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So if you have Florida plus the 13.5, man, you should have been feeling great. I get why maybe you were concerned about LSU. The funny part is, after all of that, where maybe if you watched the first three quarters, you thought it was a lock Florida was going to cover, they didn't end up covering. Mm. As they went for it on fourth and goal, down by 14 with a minute or two left in the game, and they didn't get it. They needed that touchdown in order to cover the spread, and Florida ended up losing by 14.
I mean, you got to be a special kind of dumb to do this, right?
Very special kind of dumb.
It feels like most of the time this is coming out of a certain area. These calls, these kinds of things. Remember the tree, the Auburn tree?
It just means more.
It does. It absolutely does.
It doesn't mean that we don't have our good rivalries up here and fun back and forth and banter, but...
I'm sorry. Our rivalries are almost, I view them better because we're normal, functioning human beings.
Yes.
Who may not like the color of laundry somebody wears.
Very true.
But we're not doing anything outlandish.
We're not threatening the lives of thousands of people, and we're not poisoning historically famous trees because we're upset about the outcome of a football game.
I mean, we all have some horror stories that we've heard from rivalry games.
Yeah.
But the worst thing we've seen publicly from an Oregon-Oregon State rivalry, for example, is a guy that's hammered telling Oregon players no natty for them.
Yeah, you had Duck fans burning a chunk of the field too at Reser, so that happened. So, hey, it goes each way.
A little bit.
Yeah, you know, we all have our flaws as fans, but not to this point. I don't think I've ever heard this before. Although he does go in the Spraking the Line Hall of Fame because, hey, sometimes you make a bad bet and you want to try and find a way to get out of it.
It's an odd thing of me wanting to do that, put him in a Spraking the Line Hall of Fame while also condemning and never agreeing with the idea of...
We're not condoning the act here.
Wait, I'm going to lose this bet, which, by the way, is a guy who's lost many a bets. I've never thought... What if I called in a bomb threat? That would probably work, wouldn't it?
I got it. I came up with it. I should have done that in the Cowboys-Jets game when I was losing my Survivor Pool pick as slipping through my fingers. I had called up MetLife Stadium. Sweep the stadium. Cancel the game. Replay it. Somebody said the guy probably had the under. I could see that. If you bet the under in that game,
that didn't go well.
You were panicking immediately at the start of it.
Yeah. So an Alabama student worried about a friend losing a large bet in the LSU-Florida game. Called it a bomb threat so the game would stop and his friend wouldn't lose money. Kid was identified and arrested within minutes. They're amazing on that stuff.
That immediately backfired.
Okay, coming up next, Jalen Ramsey is headed to the Rams. I'm kind of curious why the Rams felt the need to do this. Let's talk about that trade. Winners and losers, kind of cliche, but I think it's a very interesting one here given it's the Rams. We'll talk about it next.
Welcome back in, 133. We'll get to Statter Story coming up in the final hour. We do have a number of listeners at the Better You Today text line at 55305. That is how you can interact with us all show long.
Yeah.
Who are asking the question, and I think it's a valid one at this point, hey, what's the deal with the Oregon Lottery app?
So they already put this out. I retweeted it. So I was told on Monday?
I think it was late last week you tweeted that out.
Was that one? I don't remember.
I think it was late last week.
I was told that it was Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Yes, middle of the week this week.
They said the earliest, obviously, would be ideal for Tuesday. So they had Monday off for Indigenous People Day.
Yes.
Not Columbus Day.
Yeah, Swigard.
Come on, Swigard.
That sensitive bastard.
And Tuesday, yesterday they had a technical thing go on with their systems.
Their website crashed, but it was an unrelated thing, apparently.
So you can believe that. You can choose not to believe it. They responded and said, we hope to have it up as soon as possible. They've already done the beta testing. My gut would say it's either going to be tomorrow or it's going to be Friday.
Just got pushed back a day.
And we'll see. Maybe they push it back another week and I'll end up looking stupid as well. And this is where I don't get. They're creating something we've never had before. Yes. We can finally watch our favorite sport and we can finally gamble on it legally from the convenience of our own phone on our couch. I know it seems easy to do things like this, but we've never had it. I don't understand why people feel the need to complain or tell them to just stop. Like, are they delayed longer than they want to be? Yes, they told us originally in our first interview with them, which was the first one, hey, we aim to have this by kick. Great. That clearly didn't happen. They said, hey, we're hoping for early October. That didn't happen. I was told this week, they said they felt 90% sure that it was going to happen, and they've encountered another problem. All people are doing is complaining about it versus, like, I understand it because I want to gamble as much as anyone out there.
Yeah, I get the frustration.
But when it comes out, like, just accept it for what it is and, you know, figure it out. I don't know why we need to, like, crap all over them. They're creating something we've never had before. I'm excited for it.
Yes, and to be fair, too, the dates that they gave you was Tuesday through Thursday. We're only at Wednesday, so it might end up coming out tomorrow, which means what they told you last week was not...
Right.
Untrue. And I think it's funny, too, like whenever and I feel this way, the reason I've held back from complaining or bitching about it is because my personal and financial information is going to be on this app. Like, it's a gambling app.
You're going to have a social security number, I believe.
You're going to have to link to personal and bank account information in order to put money into the app so you can gamble on a couple NFL games here or there, however you want to do it. But when you're dealing with my personal and financial information, I would hope that you would cross all your T's and dot all your I's behind the scenes, not just launch all willy-nilly and then say a month into the season, oh, by the way, guys, sorry, a little data breach here. And
what was that company that just had this?
Your social security numbers are now in Russia.
The company, like last year, they had a huge data breach. Who was it? Like half their clients, all their information was out there.
Was it the, I think it was the, wasn't it like one that was supposed to protect your security?
Yeah.
Experian? Was it Experian? I think it was Experian.
That's the name of it?
I think so.
That's the company I was thinking about is the people complaining about the app not coming out by a certain time. I mean, I get it. Again, the frustration. But to your point, imagine if they put it out tomorrow. But it still had a little bit of like, I don't know how sure we are. And then all your information gets thrown out. Your social security number, your bank account number, your debit card number.
By the way, the state is now liable. So if people sue them and win, money that's got to.
Yes. Yeah. So that's where, look, I get the frustration. I want the app as much as everybody. I can't wait until we have it back. Like, we're all on board with that. We all agree with it. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here. They're eventually going to come out with it. Is it as fast as we all wanted? No, we're eventually going to be able to gamble and this problem will be solved.
You make a good point, especially with NFL gambling. And also it sounds like it might be NBA.
I think it's going to, from what I've
seen. On that CNBC report, it says NBA.
Anything professional, pretty much. Yeah. NHL, MLS, boxing, UFC, golf. They're trying to have everything accessible that's professional.
Yeah. And I think the NFL part of it, and I heard Colin say this, and he's 1,000,000% right. I think if you watch the NFL over a certain period of time, the one thing you realize is by mid to late October, we all kind of know who these teams are.
It becomes slightly easier to gamble.
It's never easy to gamble, but you know what I'm saying. You kind of get a better feel of things versus, you know, week one, I think the Saints are going to destroy the Bucs, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick throws 6 touchdowns, and you're out $100.
We all saw that coming, right? Come on. Yeah, we did have one listener text in at 55305 and say, I'm actually thankful it hasn't come out yet because it saved me a lot of money. So that's a good way to view it as well. But that's the latest. We've had a bunch of people tweeting us today or texting us and asking about that. They went to Twitter. You can go check out the Oregon Lottery Twitter account. They've gone back and forth with a few people. Said they hit a website snag yesterday that was unrelated to the sports app, but they're just making sure everything's figured out before they unveil it. And hopefully it is soon. And I am expecting again that it will be soon. We did have a bombshell in the National Football League yesterday. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting, wondering what the result was going to be. And finally, we got it. Jalen Ramsey was traded from Jacksonville to the LA Rams for quite the haul of draft picks. So if you missed it, here's how it went down. Ramsey, we know he's been disgruntled. He wanted a new deal at the start of camp. Remember, he showed up in the Brinks truck. He got into it with Doug Marrone, their head coach, a couple of weeks ago. He hasn't played since then. Even though he's met with the owner, they tried to rekindle things. Nope, he's getting sent to L.A. The Rams, in return, are sending a 2020 first-round pick, a 2021 first-round pick, and a 2021 fourth-round pick. So three draft picks, two of them first rounds for Jalen Ramsey. What was the reaction when we saw this headline yesterday?
Yeah, I was listening to primetime. I jumped out of the car, got the kids. I got back in, and Jalen Ramsey was a Ram. I'm not stunned because they were one of the rumored teams that were sniffing around.
Especially when they traded Marcus Peters earlier in the day, you thought, something else coming there.
What I am a little surprised of, I'm lost, man. I think the Rams are really panicking a little bit internally here. And we were kind of giving them that Patriot-type label. It's McVay, the next Belichick. They're going to be around for years. This offense is forward-thinking. Jared Goff's the real deal. Todd Gurley's an MVP guy. Yeah, Todd Gurley has arthritis. Their offensive line sucks. Jared Goff has not played well this year.
He's not.
Their wide receivers, not quite as productive as they once were in terms of getting separation and breaking away. And their defense has been nowhere near what it was. I understand he's going to be better than Marcus Peters. He's now your best cornerback. That's not even a debate.
No, he's one of the best in the NFL.
He's one of my favorite players. I think he's almost grossly underrated because he has such an impact defensively from time to time for Jacksonville. I think he can do that. I just don't think they address the right need, and this is going to end up being a mistake. You're not going to pay him, are you? You're going to pay him because
you have to.
I don't think they are.
You have to.
You have 2 years left, right? Is that what the contract is?
Well, not full 2 years, but you can franchise tag him if you want to at the end of the season and keep him around for another year. If you're giving up two first-round picks for him, he better be in your future plans.
Where's the money coming from?
I don't know.
They paid Goff, they paid Gurley, they've paid Cooks. I mean, they paid Aaron Donald. Like, at some point, you can't give every single good player on your team a $100 million contract. That's why the Seattle Seahawks ended up having to break up their Legion of Boom.
And eventually you have to deal guys, yeah.
Yeah, you got to play on rookie deals and figure out, you know, veteran minimum. So, yeah, he's a great player. He's sensational. I think this is a panic move, and I could be way off. I do not think they can get back into this thing. I think some teams have passed them by a little bit this year. Health hasn't been on their side. And again, you got back, what, a backup offensive lineman from a 2018 draft in the Peters trade. Okay, great. Well, let's see if that works, because right now your offensive line is stopping nobody.
Yeah, who's their left tackle? Is it Andre Whitworth? Is that what his name? He's old, and he's declining this year, so the offensive line has not played to the level that it has the last couple of years. Yeah, I mean, my reaction to this thing was initially, great deal for Jacksonville. Like, Jalen Ramsey didn't want to be there anymore. He was clearly frustrated. It wasn't going to work itself out. And you look at the Jags the rest of the season. I know Minshew's kind of been this fun story, and they were handing out mustaches at the game. He really struggled last week against the Saints. Again, he's a rookie. I'm not holding it against him. But I think I'm viewing this season now for Jacksonville as a bit of a reset, and they could be headed for a somewhat high draft pick at the end of the season, not knowing when Nick Foles is going to come back from his injury. So you add your potentially high draft pick on top of the first-round pick you're going to get from the Rams, which, by the way, that's a 500 football team right now. We don't know where the rest of the year is going to go for the Rams, so we don't know where that pick's going to be. It could end up being somewhere in the 14-15 range in the first round for all we know. You get a couple of first-round picks, man, and maybe Minshew's the guy, maybe not, but you're kind of setting a reset button here. You didn't want to pay him. You got some financial flexibility. I love that move for Jacksonville. I do want to continue this on the other side. Like, we've applauded the Rams the last 2 years, I would say, for being aggressive. I think we like when teams are aggressive and they go all in. But how many times is it too many to go all in? Because it feels like the Rams continue to push their chips to the middle of the table every couple of months. Is it too much? We'll get into that. Also, some quarterback notes in the National Football League, including the GOAT. Not some good news for him, or maybe it is good news for him. Some more NFL talk coming up next. Crunch time on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. I was at the Glorious House of Gains.
Let's go! Nice job!
Thank you.
I started with a homeless guy this morning.
Did you walk by, give him a boo?
Well, I went running real early, and this dude was sleeping on the steps of a business.
Oh.
And I got real flat feet, so I'm always like, I'm a hard runner.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think my step, he just like, he's laying down on his side. He, you know, got a jacket, a sweatshirt, and he hears my feet and he just sits up and and I just like look back and I'm like, oh, he doesn't murder me.
Sorry.
Oh, he doesn't murder me. He was gone when I came back.
Dude, you know what happened the other night? We're going to totally get sidetracked now. I was leaving. So I was here doing the Ducks Roundtable on Monday night with Anthony, and I was leaving the building, driving out of the parking lot. There was a guy with a dog, like just on the side street, like where you come down, like straight, and then you turn right into our parking lot. There was a guy that was actively like walking around with a dog and a leash trying to get into cars as they drove by. Not kidding. So I was pulling out of our parking lot.
That is crazy.
To paint a picture for people who know what our parking lot looks like. So I apologize because none of you do. But I'm pulling out of our parking lot. And yeah, they do. And there was a car that was coming down off of McAdam, right? And they were going to take a left down to go towards the Growler guys and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
he was right by the four-way. There's a stop sign there.
Right at that four-way stop. Yeah. And the car was about to turn left. And he was like having a conversation. So I just was sitting there waiting to turn, figuring they knew each other. And then he reached and like started pulling at the handle, and thankfully the driver apparently must have known or something. They locked it immediately, and I'm like, huh, what the hell's going on here? So, and then the driver like honked and then like sped away quickly to the left. So I'm like standing there. He turns his attention to me.
Oh no.
And I'm turning left, and he like tries to flag me down. I'm like, nope, gun it right by him. And then Anthony was behind me, and he tried to do the same thing to Anthony.
Jeez.
And he seemed very angry. He was yelling a lot of anger.
He had a dog.
And he had a dog, yeah.
I always feel bad for the animals that they get stuck with people like that.
That was a little sketchy.
I dare you to tangle with Anthony.
Yeah, good luck with that.
God, Anthony would mangle that person. Yes, I don't even know how big that person was.
You realize there's an 8-year NFL veteran in that car behind me? Go ahead, try and jump into that car, see what happens, buddy. Good luck with that one. We were talking about Jalen Ramsey and the deal to L.A. He got dealt from Jacksonville to L.A., and you know, we've heard from a couple of Rams fans, and I think they're echoing a similar sentiment that we kind of had. And that is, like, the big concern to me for the Rams right now is twofold. One, you have these ginormous contracts on the books, and you're not quite sure really how you feel about all of them, except for Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's a monster. His play hasn't diminished whatsoever, right? So you have no problem with that deal.
Oh, I know how you feel about right now as with Goff.
With Goff, Gurley, with Gurley.
And Cooks. I think you're Cooks, all right? Going, oh my God, how much are we paying these three dudes?
Right, so you've handed out a lot of money to those guys, and you mentioned the paying of Jalen Ramsey. I don't know how you give up three first-round picks, and especially two first-round picks, if this is a rental kind of situation. Like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So I think they're planning on signing him long-term, which, again, begs the question, as you brought up, how does that all work out? But the big issue that the Rams have, their secondary has had issues, and that's part of the reason they moved on from Peters and wanted to upgrade. And I don't knock them for trying to do that. I think the biggest issue with this football team is their offensive line. They're not running the ball as efficiently as they used to. Part of that is the Gurley injury, but that's been a problem. And look at Goff's performance last week. Now, not many people can keep the 49ers front four out of the backfield. That is a dominant defensive line. I mean, you had a passing game that could muster 76 yards last week because your offensive line didn't give you much time. And yet you went out and you make this trade, not addressing probably the primary need that you have. And when you're a football team that has handed out big time contracts to guys, you are desperately reliant on hitting on draft picks to have cheap depth. You have to have depth on your football team. And I think we've seen that from the Rams lacking because they've made trades with draft picks the last couple of years. They haven't had the same capital over the last number of years as a normal NFL team would. And now you just gave up the next two first round picks to go get Jalen Ramsey, who, yes, is a stud, and I'm sure he's going to be great. And you got a lot of good passing offenses in the NFC West, but you need to backfill some depth with cheap talent with all those contracts. And that's where I just don't quite get why they're going all in again.
So here's the strategy. I thought about this during the break. Right now, by the way, the Rams are 26th in available cap space. They only have $4.9 million in cap space. The league average in terms of how much each team has available, the league average is 15.
Okay, so they're almost over $10 million shorter than that.
By the way, Colts have $45 million.
Remember, everybody criticized them the last 2 years because they had all that money to spend and they didn't spend any of it.
So they're at $4.9 million. Here's a way you may potentially be able to solve it. What if you trade Brandon Cooks this year at the end of the season, and I totally think they're going to, by the way, and then you free up the cap space with that, and then you franchise tag Ramsey after the one season because it's a tag and it's easy to do with the assurance that you will pay him and then you get rid of Gurley, who would just have like 2 years left on a contract. I don't know where he'll be physically, if he'll even be in the NFL, but if he is,
right.
Some team will be stupid enough to go, yeah, Todd Gurley can still get it done. Somebody will take him. That's how the NFL operates. You take advantage of the dumb teams, especially if you're a good franchise. And there you go. There you free space up, and then maybe you sign Jalen Ramsey. But I also won't be shocked if they don't do that and they end up kind of renting him. But you're right. It's such a steep price. That's why I'm surprised. You had a bigger, glaring issue. Everybody and their mom knows what your issue is. Everybody. Everybody's written about it. Everybody's talked about it. Everybody's said it. Your offensive line's not good. And you went out and you traded 2 firsts and a fourth for Jalen Ramsey at corner?
Yeah, picks that could have been used on a future left tackle, potentially.
I hate to say, Jalen Ramsey isn't changing the 49er outcome last week.
No, he's not. Niners' offense didn't do much in that game. That wasn't their issue.
Right.
It was enough to win, but that wasn't their problem.
But even if he plays, I still think they're getting to 20 points.
Probably, yeah.
So you didn't address an obvious need, and I think that's where... And I've fallen victim to this. This is absolutely me that I'm talking about. But many other people fall into this too. This is where sometimes I don't learn. Sometimes I'm an idiot and I get way over my skis and I'm announcing that I think the Rams are the next Patriots. Or I feel they're going to be here for a decade. Man, I don't know. With some of their signings, with this kind of move.
It shows how tough it is to stay on top in the NFL.
Yes, it's a grind.
It's easily
man.
The toughest of any of the major sports. Of when you get these guys trying to figure out contracts, how much do you pay, who do you pay. And as long as you have a coach and a quarterback, you're eventually going to go through it and you'll find your way back up in a conversation. I think Seattle's the prime example of that, where you had the Legion of Boom, back-to-back Super Bowls, came close to another one, right? You knew who they were. You knew it wasn't going to work long term, though, because Richard Sherman was getting old. Earl Thomas couldn't stay healthy.
Russell's contract was coming up.
So you eventually had to kind of say, okay, press the reset button. Let's get rid of some of these bad contracts. Let's try and figure out what identity we want our football team to have. Yeah. And the coach and the quarterback stayed constant. Now Seattle's back to being made the playoffs last year, right? Now they're seemingly headed in that direction as well. So as long as you have those two constants, you're going to be okay. But I think that's the other interesting part about all of this is one of the contracts that they handed out was to Jared Goff. And I'm not saying anything definitive about Jared Goff at this point in his career. The one thing that we do know about him, though, is when Todd Gurley's not healthy and playing at a high level, Jared Goff's numbers are not good. I mean, that's just a fact.
Is it Todd Gurley to you, or is it the offensive line?
I think it's a combination of both. But you look early in his career, he was similar to Russell Wilson, reliant on having maybe the best running back in football. Like Todd Gurley was that offense.
He was a beast.
And everything they did in the passing game was set up by running the football consistently, which, yes, has a lot to do with the offensive line, but then would be in play action. And you'd run, play action, and you'd have wide open receivers down the field. His life was extremely easy. Now that that is gone, his offensive line has evaporated a little bit. The running back has evaporated. His play has diminished. And again, it's an example of why Russell Wilson maybe doesn't get the credit he deserves. His offensive line has been bad. That's been one of the areas that Seattle let go. Their running game was one of the worst in the National Football League for a couple of years. When Marshawn Lynch left with that bad offensive line, they couldn't run. But he was still an effective quarterback. So you knew you had a special guy back there. And that's why there was no doubt about giving him the contract. And now the O-line's better. The run game's better. And look what's happening to him.
And I also think, too, on the Rams, as much as it sounds like we're completely dumping them, and I still think it's a valid thing to say, is you didn't address your need. You went and you made a huge trade with assets that are valuable. There's value to those assets, but they clearly value Jalen Ramsey more. What I would add, though, is one, I don't think the Rams are dead in the water yet. I don't want to completely dismiss Sean McVay and act like he's some bum coach now. And here's a third part, and this might be the most important one. The biggest thing for them is going to be 2021, because in 2021 is when their stadium's going to open. Yeah. They are already the kings of Los Angeles. Nobody gives a rip about the Chargers.
No.
Their motivation's going to be, we're selling PSLs and season ticket packages
to a ton
of people. Yeah. We can't suck. And so I think that's also the approach with something like this, is big names, flashy, get people to... I mean, it was a 49er home game last weekend. That
was embarrassing.
Pitiful for them.
Embarrassing.
They're going to be having a brand new stadium. They are the team in LA. I think if you're a Rams fan, as much as you might not have liked the Ramsey trade, maybe you're worried about where the team's going, and I get it. Your thing should be, don't give up yet, because I still think they're going to be good for a few years here. They have a lot of reasons that they have to be good, and I think their management style, the coaching style, they're very aggressive, and I don't think that they're going to suddenly suck. and go, well, we don't know what to do. They just, I think on this issue, they whiffed and they didn't help their team. And I wonder what that's going to impact for their season.
You know who they remind me of? They remind me of the Houston Rockets.
Well, that's a good one with Maury.
It just, they're always going for it.
Always trying, yeah.
Which I think as a fan, there's part of that you can appreciate of like, hey, they're never tanking. They're never saying, hey, this is a down year. Let's just, you know, we'll get them next year. Like, that's never going to be their mentality. But the Rockets are constantly doing that. Trade for Paul, doesn't work. Let's get this guy, didn't work. All right, let's go get Russ. All right, we'll see if this works. Carmelo Anthony, let's bring him in. Like, it's just, you're constantly trying to go for it. So there's part of that that I can appreciate. And one last note on the Jags. I think an example of how this can work immediately is in Oakland. Like, we all make fun of John Gruden. He's funny. It's a funny talking point. We'll see what their year turns out. I think they're in Green Bay this week, so that's not an easy game for him coming off of a bye. But everybody killed him when they traded Khalil Mack. Like, how could you do that? How could you do that? And looking at the year he had in Chicago, I understood where it come from, where it came from. But as long as you hit on those first-round picks, people are going to forget about it quickly.
Yeah, you get a Josh Jacobs, and it suddenly goes, well, yeah, Khalil Mack's still amazing, but we have a good running back.
But we got a running back. And so that's it for Jacksonville. You give up on Ramsey, go hit on that first-round pick you got from the Rams. People forget about it, man. You got two first-round picks to play with now next year, so I like that.
And Houston got a big win, but I don't, and the Colts have been pretty decent this year. I don't think that division's lost for them yet.
Fair enough.
Bad loss, but it's not lost for them to compete and get that division yet.
Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. Locally owned and operated with 6 locations to serve you. Lots to get to in the final hour. I didn't get to the quarterback notes in that segment, so I'll do that to start the final hour as starters are being flip-flopped in a couple of NFL markets. We'll get to that. Stat or story at 2:15. Also, a question to ponder for the final hour. What is a rivalry that you always hear is a rivalry, but you're just not buying it? Like, that's not a rivalry. We'll get into that. We'll explain the context. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.